Rest in peace on you. Welcome, my friends, to a podcast. And I call you guys blessed. I'm so grateful for all the people that have signed up for our podcast. It's a really big deal to me. And today is going to be really good because I'm going to be talking to you about the subject of knowing what the actual argument is. And we're going to go through that in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about different kinds of battlefields that the devil tries to get you out on, whether it's in business or whether it's in your thinking or whether it's in how you remember your own history, or maybe it might be just in how you run your ministry or whatever that is, but staying on the right battlefields. This is a leadership principle. It is a tremendous kingdom principle. I really believe with all my heart that all of our true leadership principles are actually kingdom principles. And I think that Jesus illustrated that, how to be a great leader, better than anybody else. Guys, I'm Troy Brewer, and I'm coming at you strong from Glen Rose, Texas. I'm here in my little studio at Third Stage Ranch, and I have my beautiful bride, Leanna Brewer, with me today. Hello, Leanna.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, bless and peace on you. Are you doing well today?
I am well.
So you just had the high privilege of cutting my hair.
I did. What a privilege it is.
It was so, yeah.
And for all your hairdressers out there, no, he does not sit still. No, he will not sit up straight.
I do too.
He whines and complains about getting hair all over him.
I hate having hair on me. I hate it. I'm like, why do you got to get hair all over me?
Because you don't sit still.
Okay, well, I have had a problem with sitting still my whole life, so that might be an issue. One of the things, Leanna, that I know that I was just watching the broadcast from Wednesday night, and one of the criticisms that comes up there, all of you pastors, you got to quit hiding behind your microphones with your cameras and get out and do something.
Oh, well, that's really not a problem for you, but please do not encourage him to get out anymore.
I was like, how wonderfully and blissfully ignorant this person is to think that I'm sitting behind a microphone, hiding behind a microphone. I can't imagine doing anything more than what we're imagining. I mean, I don't know how to do anything more than what we're doing.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I've been thinking this morning on how we get a perspective in our mind and we think we know how things work, and most of the time we're wrong. So that person really thinks they know how it works, and clearly they're clueless on how it works. They don't know, but in their mind, they're completely right.
A lot of people, they build a skill set at being clearly clueless.
Yes, they do. They do.
And I wanted to just tell you, you know, I've done that. You've done that.
Sure.
I can't think of any time you've done it.
Oh, obviously. I've done it. I promise I've done it. And yeah. And the Lord's really good at showing me, oh, you think you know? And then he'll show me the big picture and I'll be like, I'm so sorry. So I have followed the rule that I tell my children is, mind your own business. Mind your own business.
That's a good rule to go by.
Take care of yourself, because actually, you're only going to be held accountable for you. When you stand before the Lord and you stand there and account for your life, you're not going to stand in front of the Lord on how you judged other people and how they did things and what they should have done and how they, no, it's going to be on what he told you to do and how you did it. You're only responsible for you.
Yeah, God's not going to show up on judgment day, stand us before him, say, dude, you had it so right about how all these other people were living and what they should have done,
right,
and how they should have done it. And you were exactly right that they should have not done this. Not, no, that's not what he's going to.
He's not.
You know, one of the things that I see today that is crazy to me is people be like, my ministry is being a watchman on the wall, which we do need to be watchful. We do need to be watchmen. We do need to steward the kingdom.
But they're watching the wrong thing.
Yeah, but they're watching the wrong thing. You got it. That's exactly right. And a lot of people who just, here's what they do. They because they're cowardly, mm-hmm, and because they're not going to get out and do anything, they know they need to do something. So what they make their ministry about is how they judge other people's
right
ministries. And I'm not particularly perturbed to people that do that to me. I just know that I could fall into that same trap as well.
Sure, it's easy to do.
Like, here's a pet peeve for me right now, is where it's legal to have church, people are not having church.
Yes, breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart, and it is so hard for me to not speak on that and just go, come on, what the heck are you guys doing? I don't want to be the only church in town. With that said,
that's not our business.
That's not our business. And it might someday become our business as persecution gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because our voice is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And mostly because a lot of church leadership are just running to what is the thing that makes the most sense to the most amount of people, and we can verify it through the media, and let's just go that route. Okay, well, when you play it safe like that, what's real is you lose your voice. And when you lose your voice in any community, immediately the anti-Christ voice rises up. And if the body of Jesus loses its voice here in the United States of America, persecution will greatly increase. Like, oh, no, that's not, whatever, it's already happening.
Oh, it's happening.
We have all these friends in California. Not, okay, you can gather, but you can only gather with 10 people at a time, and you're not allowed to sing. We're going to send somebody in there and make sure that you do not worship. Because it's obvious that Christians who are praising Jesus are the ones that are spreading the coronavirus. Oh, man.
You know, though, with this, with more people shutting down and not doing that, and the persecution getting bigger, it's the same as the children of Israel whenever they were told to bow before the king. There was more Christians than just the three Hebrew boys. There was more of them. There was more than just Daniel. And everybody else bowed. Everybody else bowed to the statue, bowed to him being king, bowed to him being supreme ruler over everything. And they're the only three that had a voice left, the only four that had a voice left. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace.
Yes.
And they weren't alone. And so their voices became amplified in that time because everyone else cowered. And we're in the same thing. And
we
all know the Bible.
Yep.
All of us are Christians and know the Bible. And we can read that story and go, wow, how courageous were they? How awesome are they? How, you know, I want to be like them. And now we have the time to be like them. And you're bowing your knee to this false god.
So what I recognize that a lot of us in Christianity are doing, Leanna, is that we are actually filtering our kingdom view through the current political environment.
Yeah.
Instead of filtering our view of the political environment through the kingdom.
Yes.
And man, dadgummit, man, we just have to
crazy.
We have to be people who are constantly on the right track with that. One of the reasons why I'm not constantly railing and trying to and judging other churches and whatnot is simply because I'm so busy.
Yes.
I'm just so busy. So we're feeding 3,000 people a week.
We are.
You know, yesterday
Well, just here at home we are.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of people around the world.
And then there's ministry with every bit of food that goes out with that, which means those people have issues. We have to take care of those issues. Demons are coming out of people sometimes whenever we're praying for them. Healings are happening.
Yes.
We had one of the greatest healings that we've ever seen in our whole life just happened 2 weeks ago. And there was a boy that was literally raised from the dead in our church.
Jesus. Yes. Who, a little bitty guy.
Who had drowned.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, he's found at the bottom of the swimming pool. Brother's dead.
Got to Cook's. They said, you know, he's gone.
It's over.
There's nothing we can do.
Continue to work on him. To work on him. Totally non-responsive. And then Mindy Knight, who is on our prayer team, was able to get into the room, went in there and prayed for him. And all of a sudden, he threw up water and he got up. And he was fine.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're talking about maybe that was an hour after he had drowned.
It was a long time.
It was a long time.
It's a long time.
So I'm just saying that we're seeing the kingdom move. We're seeing signs, miracles, and wonders. And what's real is when you're involved in the Father's business, your ministry is not that you go around and criticize everybody else's ministries.
No, you're Nehemiah and you're on that wall building with a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other because you're having to fight the real battle that is at hand, and you're also having to build at the same time. And he tells his critics, I don't have time to come from this wall. I am busy doing what the Lord's called me to do. And Jesus did the same thing. He would tell his critics, can't you see I'm busy doing my Father's work? I don't have time for this.
We're in the We're in the process of building a brand new home for a widow lady here in Glenrose. Literally a brand new house.
Yes, I'm so excited.
That she will be totally, I mean, we don't know her from Adam. She doesn't go to our church.
No.
But I know for a fact that she's raising four of her grandchildren.
Yes.
And her house burnt down to the ground. So we're just like, if we have the ability to do that, then let's do that. Now, we didn't have a budget, but we had the ability.
But we have a father who has a limitless budget. And if you will say yes and partner with him, it's amazing where the money comes from.
It is amazing. And I want to tell you that we also yesterday began building a house for a family in the nation of Belize.
Yes.
A whole house.
Yes.
Who they also have four kids, right?
They do. They have five children.
Okay,
four of them are completely deaf, and the other one is severely handicapped as well because they have been drinking from a polluted river. So
yes.
We're digging them a water well.
Yep.
And we're also digging it for the whole community, but we're building them a house because all of their children are special needs, and they live in a lean-to.
So,
right now.
So folks would say, well, that's cool, but that's not really our ministry. We preach the gospel. Well, dude, we preach the gospel.
Yes.
You know, I'm still doing
and
four
signs,
services
miracles,
a week.
And miracles and wonders.
That's
follow
right.
that. And that would be
we
a sign,
preach the gospel,
and wonder.
And we are Bible thumpers. We have a Bible school. We have a supernatural school. I do three services on Sunday. We do the Wednesday night service. We do the community service. Plus, we do the Saturday night encounter service. And then I do a television show every week. I do seven radio shows every single week. I do Prophetic Wednesday every single week. And then I do the Prophetic Life, which I do five of those a week. So I think I have to come up with about, I think I'm literally preaching at least 10 sermons a week. Okay. And for everybody who would tell me, I'm sorry, all I can do is preach one sermon a week. It's baloney. You can do so much more. You can do so much more.
Because
just
on top
it.
Of that, we feed a baby goat, and we have lots of baby goats.
Yeah.
We do feed our own animals and mow our own yard. It cracks me up when people ask me, so you really take care of your own stuff? Yes, we do. And we do it because it's a joy to us.
Plus, I mow 22 acres every
you
week.
You do.
And
you
I
do
weed
a good
eat,
job.
Right?
Yes.
And I weed eat. Plus, I write books. Plus, I blah, 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 blah. So this is what I'm saying. I have a bone to pick with the lazy body of Jesus that cowers and will not stand up and demonstrate the goodness of God to people that the world that the world doesn't celebrate. However, I don't have time to pick that bone. And that is what I realized. Number one, I'm not ever going to win those people over.
No.
You're not going to convince somebody to work hard who's lazy and they're not going to work hard. You're not going to convince somebody to love people who don't want to love people. You're not going to convince people to get out of their wineskin. You can't do that. And so I'm not going to fight that battle. That's not the battle that I fight.
So the question is Troy, can these dry bones live?
Yes, the dry bones can definitely live.
Yes, because all it takes is the breath of the Lord to breathe on them.
And all it takes is four guys
That's right.
to change the entire
That's
narrative
right.
of a nation when
Absolutely.
Everybody else is bound down.
Absolutely. So if you feel like you're alone and you're fighting an uphill battle, like Elijah, I'm all by myself, the Lord goes, you are so not by yourself. There's so much more going on than what you even know about.
The definition of a mentor is a trusted counselor or a guide, a tutor, or a coach. I know that one of the ways that we live life forward and we all go to the next level is we have a lot of godly counsel within our life. Now, biblically, we don't call that a mentor. We call that discipleship. And we're like, where in the world did we get the word mentor from? Well, we acquired the word mentor from the literature of ancient Greece, actually in Homer's epic, The Odyssey. Now, Odysseus was away from home fighting and journeying for some 20 years, and then during that time, Telemachus, the son that he left as a babe in arms, grew up under the supervision of mentor, an old and trusted friend. And you know what? That word has worked the same ever since. Hello, everybody. This is Troy Brewer, and you know, I'm the pastor of a large growing church in Johnson County, Texas, and you might know me that way. But did you know for 16 years, we had less than 200 people within our church? And my joy was always taking people underneath my wing and helping them to go to the next level. And I don't want to lose that as our church gets bigger and bigger and as the Lord increases my footprint. So here's what I decided to do. I started a mentorship program. It's actually a community. It's based on something like Facebook where we all get together as a community and then I pick a subject and I walk you through it. This is exactly how it works for me. And I call it The Prophetic Life. I just recently launched it and I'm so excited about the response from it and I want to offer it to you. If you are interested in finding out how do I do all of my research on numbers? How do I look up prophetic things? How do I search out the matter? How do I handle leadership? How do I handle my biblical worldview? What are my core values? Friends, we are doing about 6 hours a week here on The Prophetic Life, and I'd like to offer it to you. Simply go to troybrewer.com and look for The Prophetic Life, or you can call 877-413-0888 and join our tribe at The Prophetic Life. I want to just tell you a theme that came up this week that I want to talk to you about that is a huge part of leadership. And it has to do with knowing what the actual argument is, or I should say this, knowing what the actual principle is, knowing what the actual thing that you have to accomplish is, and not being drug off into endless arguments that will keep you from doing the thing that God had called you to do. Now, you mentioned Nehemiah at the beginning of this.
Yes.
Which is one of the greatest examples of throughout the entire Bible, and it's this. These guys show up. He is supernaturally anointed for acceleration, okay? So while they couldn't build the wall for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, almost 500 years.
Right.
Actually, that was a 70-year thing. I'm sorry about that. So while they couldn't build the wall for 70 years, he gets up there and he rebuilds the entire wall in 52 days.
Right.
Now, he was supernaturally anointed to get that done quickly because he was willing to do it. And
yes,
that, everybody's
that's
asking,
it.
How do I speed things up? Dude, you got to go to work.
And the reason why those guys were mad at him is because they weren't willing.
So they weren't.
To submit to what the call
was. What they wanted
was
to do was actually kill him, because yeah, what happens is when you are doing something, mm-hmm, the people that aren't doing something get mad and they get offended because you're doing something.
Right.
And it feels like a slap in the face to them, but it really has nothing to do with them.
No.
It has nothing to do with them whatsoever. So these guys say, well, why don't you stop building and come down and let's have a debate? And he said, why should I come down seeing I am
right,
doing a good thing? I want to just talk to every single one of our podcast listeners and say, do you know that you're doing a good thing? Are you still on mission?
Yes.
You have to know what your mission is. Well, I don't know anymore because everything's changed. Okay, the wineskin can change, but your mission hasn't changed.
It does not change. Your calling does not change.
The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God
is
still God. He's
exactly
still on
right,
the throne.
You still have your same calling.
It's still,
now, you might
his
have
kingdom
to do it
come
differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not blaming anybody or anything for doing church differently. No, it's a mandatory wineskin change. You have to do it. I want to say this also too, like it would be real easy for me to, or anybody to criticize a big monster church, like the amazing people at Gateway, who I am the biggest fans of on the entire planet Earth.
Such world changers.
Dude, they have a stadium and they have different challenges than the rest of us do. And I don't know anybody other than my team that wants to do ministry more than the Gateway team of
right,
people do. Those people are extraordinary
such
human beings.
People.
And I just want to say this for our 72 radio stations that are listening. If you don't know about Gateway Church, and if you don't know about Pastor Robert Morris, and if you don't know about Pastor Jimmy Evans, if you don't know those guys, I am not connected to those guys in any way whatsoever, except for by the region. And I can tell you, Gateway is the real deal.
They make such a tremendous difference.
They are legit. I know so, whatever you see that they're doing in public,
yes,
they're doing so much more behind the scenes. And so I know for a fact, they have special challenges. Number one, their place seats like 30,000 people or something. And there's a whole different set of rules for if you can gather or if you can't. Plus they're in Colleyville. We're in Burleson. That's a whole different set of rules. And so what's real is I know them and I know their character and I know who they are and I know their fruit. And nobody has, you can be mad that whatever their situation is for church is, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And so what you need to be about the business about is actually doing the kingdom stuff that God has called you to do.
Yes.
And don't be trying to cause disunity within the body of Jesus, because you have a platform to put your voice. If your voice is not building, if your voice is not fruit bearing, if your voice is not Jesus edifying, then you're taking the name of the Lord your God in vain.
And so many times we focus on what we're hearing in the news and what we think is going on, which is what we were talking about at the beginning. And, you know, we as a church, and Troy always tells everybody, I am originally from California. I have a heart for California. My heart burns for California. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Specifically Southern California, which is where I'm from. And God gave me a word 20 years ago that it was just going to take a spark and there was going to be a wildfire that went through California, that it was a supernatural spiritual wildfire that nobody's going to be able to put out. It's going to be supernatural. Well, we all know, if you live here in Texas, that everybody's moving out of California. All of the good people seem to be moving out of California, moving to Texas. And it kind of breaks my heart because I'm thinking, wow, we need good people there. We need people to stay there.
We need kingdom people.
And we
there.
Do. It makes me kind of sad, but I get it. I mean, if it was me, I would probably move out with my children as well. But something that the Lord showed me yesterday, just because he knows my heart and my passion, all we're hearing about is all of the negative things about what's going on there and all of the horrible things in the government. But there is a revival going on in Huntington Beach, which is one of the best places in Southern California. It's where all of the surfers go. It's an incredibly beautiful place. And there is a revival taking place on the beaches.
Yep, there is.
And they can't stop it. It is so huge.
And it's not making national news.
It's not making any news. Right. Nobody knows it. Nobody sees it. And I am just like so excited that that's happening. And I'm like, yes, Lord. So there's people out there actually doing it instead of sitting back and complaining about their government or whining or griping or joining this craziness that's going on. They're saying, no, we are going to be the difference. We're going to be the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego that stand in the fiery furnace and watch the Lord show up. And you know what? We're not going to smell like smoke.
Come on.
And we're not going to have bowed our knee to whatever this is that's going on right now. Yes, you can be respectful of the government. Yes, you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Yes, you do all of these things and you respect authority.
Yes.
But you also have to have the kingdom first. And it says, there's no other gods before him. And it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're not doing those two things, if you're just sitting around complaining and griping and throwing fits and adding fuel to the fire, then you're not doing the two greatest commandments. And that's what the Lord told the disciples that it was.
Okay, here's what Brother Paul told Brother Timothy in 1 Timothy 1. He says, I just love this. He says, as I urged you when I went unto Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may change some that they teach no other doctrine. So he's like, look, there's a big mess going on in Ephesus and I need you to keep people on point, right?
Yeah.
And then verse 4, he says, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. Boy, that's a Bible study right there.
That is a great Bible study.
And then verse 6 says this, from which some have strayed away from, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So he says this, a lot of people have left the kingdom game because of all of their social media.
Yes.
Idle talk.
Yes.
And they're too busy being on Twitter. They're too busy being on Facebook. They're too busy being on everything that they can be on. They want to comment on everything. And they have left their calling. They have left it. And I think, you know, a lot of people contact me and say, hey, I want to debate you on this and debate you on that. Again, why should I come down from building the wall seeing that I'm doing a good thing? Furthermore, you're probably a better debater than I am.
And where does the debate get you? It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't glorify. It doesn't uplift.
I'm not here to stimulate your frontal lobe.
Right.
That's not what I'm here for. And I don't give a rip about any of that. I want to walk in full demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want to see transformation. I want to have encounters with God. I want to see people who have no hope get hope. And I want to see people who are powerless move into a powerful lifestyle. That's what I want to do. However I can do that. I want to see redemption. I mean, that's my gig, right? Okay. Well, this week there have been so many issues that have come up, and I just have just a few minutes left, and so I need to get to this quickly. But there have been issues that have come up, things like, okay, I need you to understand that this is the point, and I need you to argue this point with me. And I'm like, no, that is not the point. And we could get into that argument, but it's pointless to me because I'm trying to get this done. And in order for me to get this done, this right here matters. Well, that actually doesn't matter to me. It matters about such and such, such and such. And I can tell you that in leadership, and in running a church, and running private businesses, and being involved in everything that you and I are involved in, one of the key things that we have to do is keep everybody on point. No, this is what matters.
Yes.
But don't all these other things matter? They do in context of something else.
Right.
But in context of this, this matters.
Stay focused.
You have to stay focused. And I can tell you that in the midst of how the world has reacted to this virus, there's a million different conspiracy theories. There's a million different attitudes. There's a million different, and here's what's real. You have to keep everything in context of the mission that God has given you, the identity that God has given you, the calling that God has given you, and what you're responsible for. And stay focused on the points that matter to that. When people try and drag you off into other points, even if they're good points, it doesn't matter if they're good points or evil points. It's just like the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
You're eating of a tree that is not the tree
that God told you to eat from. Yeah, there's no life in it.
You have to eat from the tree of you have to eat from the tree of life. And so, like in dealing, you know, like my whole thing is in dealing with banks, in dealing with missions trips, in dealing with how we gather as a church, in dealing with my leadership, in dealing with my kids, in dealing with contractors, in dealing with lawyers.
How about me?
In dealing with you, okay. I could get off on, I'm not gonna talk about this. I wanna talk about this other thing that does not matter and is not relative to the calling that God has given me.
Right.
And Paul specifically tells Timothy that a lot of people in Ephesus have left the kingdom for the sake of idle talk. In other words, they want to talk about stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with the calling that God has given them.
Right.
Okay, so it's time for us to close. And I want to just say that for everybody that's listening to this podcast, you need to review who God has called you to be. And don't let people drag you off into other sandboxes, because you're just going to get your hat handed to you and you're going to spend a couple of years there fighting it out while your ministry lays idle. And I don't want to do that. And you don't want to do that. This is a time for us to stand up. I know that when King David was supposed to be on the battlefield, he was on his back porch and he looked out and he saw that Bathsheba chick.
Yes.
And the battlefield that he was anointed to be on, he wasn't on. And he ended up on a battlefield that he had no grace for whatsoever. And he lost. And it cost him for the rest of his life. The sword never left his house because he got off the battlefield he was supposed to be on long enough to get engaged in something he should not have been engaged in.
Yes.
Friends, this is Troy Brewer, senior pastor of Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas, talking with my bride, Leanna Brewer. And I just want to just encourage you, man, wherever you're at, stay on track, stay focused, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Do not let people drag you off into endless battlefields. Know what your battlefield is. Know where your tribe is supposed to be within the promised land, and don't head off into some other place. Guys, if you need help, call us. Call 877-413-0888. And I hope that this has been a great big blessing. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook. And don't forget that if you're not plugged into my private community, The Prophetic Life, that you plug in. You can find that at troybrewer.com. All right, friends, until the next time I see you, this is Troy Brewer. And who are you?
Leanna Brewer.
And guys, we call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.